For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. That's the decision she made. If I touch his garment, I shall. She didn't say, I should. She said, I shall. I shall be whole. Period. I shall be whole. Wow. But Jesus turned him about. And when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now, this particular passage is restated to us in Mark 5. The woman felt in her body that something had happened, was hiding, and Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciple says, how can you be saying somebody touched you when everybody's busy touching me? He said, no, I perceive that power came out of me, virtue came out of me, and somebody got something. How did she get it? By faith. How was her faith demonstrated? By what she said to herself. Sometimes we think it is only talking out loud. No, but she said it in herself. So the effectiveness of her faith was not as much as what she said, but what she did. Her action. A lot of us many times say a lot of stuff. We say. But we do not. We need to do both. You need to say, but you need to do. Those two go together. Amen? So the Lord says, thy faith had made thee whole, and that woman was made whole from that hour. She was made whole from the hour that Jesus said to her, your faith has made you whole. I thought she was whole when she touched him. No, her sickness stopped when she touched him. Her wholeness came about when Jesus spoke to her and made permanent what had already started in her. You understand? She connected, touched, her sickness stopped. She felt that something was better. Now, when he spoke, wholeness was established. You guys tired this evening? I see some people. I know I'm not being boring. So awake, you that sleepest. Hallelujah. Okay. She became whole when the word was spoken to her. Let's look at Mark chapter 5. Mark 5, we'll take it from Mark 5:25. This is what the Word of God says here. Mark 5, starting from verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She was healed of that plague. Now, healed and whole are two different words. This is what I'm trying to get at. When she touched, something happened. It's like when you hear the word of God, something happens. You hear a word spoken, and by faith you claim healing for yourself. Something happened. So I don't feel any pain anymore. I don't feel any pain anymore. I don't feel any pain anymore. Now, there is the second level. The second level is words spoken into that particular situation that affirm and move you from the place of healing to the place of wholeness. Or else you'll be good for a while, and then the challenge comes again. And when the challenge comes again, guess what happens? You attach yourself to feeling. And when you attach yourself to a feeling, you reinvite that same ailment. Or else you have received the word of God and wholeness has taken place. And that wholeness is not just wholeness of your physical body. It's the wholeness that comes because you now have received the word of faith. The man of God has spoken into your life. As you have received this healing, it is confirmed. It shall never return again to you. Amen. I receive the word of the man of God. I receive the word of God. I receive the healing in my body. I come into agreement. If any two of you shall agree concerning anything, it shall be done. You come into agreement. You receive it. Now you have something to fight with. When the enemy tries to come, you can say, affliction shall not return twice. Affliction does not return to me. I got healed from this then. It cannot come back. Amen? You've received the word of God, and you're able to push back and enforce, because you know the bridegroom is still with you. I can talk to the bridegroom. He's here. But if you have doubt, start fasting to get your faith back up. Amen? Hallelujah. So, but now watch this. The story started with Jairus. Jairus is the one who invited Jesus to come to his house. And the daughter is 12 years old. But here's this woman with a 12-year-old problem that stops Jesus by his actions. He says in verse 23, and when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Let's go back to the Mark 5 passage and get some extra details to that particular story. In verse 35 of Mark 5, after the Lord had spoken to the woman with the issue of blood, and said in verse 34, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Be whole of thy plague. No more. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? this case is beyond repair. The child is dead, for sure. And as soon as Jesus heard the word which that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only what? Believe. Only believe. Don't be afraid. I know you just got the bad report, but don't be afraid, only believe. You know, many times when things are happening in our lives and something bad news comes or something gets to what we say is a point of no return, we many times gravitate to that last act. And God says, no, no. You came to me and asked me to come. And if I come, your son is going to be whole. Keep on believing that. Don't doubt that. And we must ask ourselves, why is it that we doubt what God said? If God said it once, he said it twice, three times, four times, because his word keeps on going. And when things go contrary to what we started out believing, we must not doubt what we started out believing. That's where most times, as believers, we lose out. We hear the last statement, which is contradictory to what we started believing or what God said in the first place, and we come into agreement with that last word. Don't do that. Believe what you believed in the first place. If we believed what we believed in the first place, I believe that we'll get a lot of reversal of situations. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, the child is dead, but what does the Lord say? He says, the child is sleeping. What? Child is dead. What do you mean the child is sleeping? Well, before she died, she was sleeping. And I'm going to wake her up. This, interestingly, is one of those times where the Lord is doing something, a spiritual principle that as the body of Christ we have not learned to practice or connect with, which is the reversal of time. This is what he's doing it here again. He's reversing time from the time of death to the time of sleeping. He's moving things back by his words. How do we do that? This is how we do that. If I was sick from something, there was a time that I was not sick with that thing. Amen? If I had a financial problem or a marital problem, there was a time that I did not have that financial problem or that marital problem. And back in time is to take you back to the time when you did not have that problem and continue a new line, free of that problem. See how the Lord did it in John. He is invited to a wedding. And when he gets to the wedding, they tell him that the wine, the mother tells him the wine had run out. And his first reaction was, so, what does that have to do with me? They run out of wine, they run out of wine. But the mother says, turns around and goes to the servants and says to them, whatever he says for you to do, just do it. And she leaves. Verse 5 of John 2. John, the Gospel of John chapter 2 and verse 5. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Whatsoever he says unto you, do it. And then the narrative changes. He says, and there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews. These 6 water pots were water pots that were filled with water at the beginning of the feast, of the wedding. They're all filled with water. So at the time that those pots were filled with water, they had fullness of wine. Are you with me? Okay. So he says each of these 6 water pots containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. That's, I guess, about 18 gallons or something like that each. And watch this. Jesus says to them, fill the what? Water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. That's where the water was when the feast started. Are you with me? So he's getting things back to where they were when there was plenty over there. And he says unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast and the board. Draw out now from what? From the water pots that they use for purifying. This is water that they use in cleaning their feet and their hands. He says, draw water from there and go to the MC. He says, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. And what did he say? He says unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. For thou hast kept the good wine until now. Notice Jesus didn't even have to pray. He just backed up time. The Lord is reminding me of his situation. Interesting enough, I was in the nation of India many years back. And this is my first time in India. And the Lord was doing a lot of miracles. And I was invited to go pray for a woman, a very heavy set woman, who had been bedridden. She'd been on her bed. She couldn't walk. Especially because there was some kind of soreness. If she steps on a grain of rice or anything, it will shoot a just mega pain through her system. And you cannot keep the place clean enough for this woman to walk. So they brought me in there, and they tell me her story, and I just grabbed the woman's hand. I said, come with me. And people were looking at me. You're supposed to come here and pray. I just grabbed her hand. And I said, come with me. She put her feet down, and I took her outside, and she started walking on sand. People went crazy. What just happened? Tell you the truth, I didn't know what just happened until now. I knew God did something, and the Lord just spoke to me and said, I want you to tell this story. And I said, okay, I will tell this story. He said, the reason I want you to tell this story is because that's what happened in that particular situation. You backed up time. Backing up time, with the last time she was able to walk on anything she wanted to walk on. And now she's doing it again. Stretch out your hand, your withered hand. Stretch it out. Boom. The word is taking the person back to when there was no problem. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that anywhere in your life, in my life, in the life of those that are listening to me right now, that God backs up time for you and take you back to that time when you had no problem in that marriage, when you had no problem with those relationships, when you had no financial problems. Let God right now take you by the hand and take you back to the place where you had no problem and start a new track for you henceforth in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, you say, what if what I'm trying to ask God for, I never had it before? There's no backing up time on that. But what you have is the backing of time to the time that you believed. When you believed, I am going to be married, have 3 children, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. There was a time you believed that. Don't unbelieve that. Back up to that time and be in agreement with that belief that you had. For nothing shall be impossible to them that what? Believe. That's where you back up to. There was a time that you believed. Believe again. Amen? Believe again. Say, this is my story. When I got married, I was hopelessly in love with my husband, with my wife. We loved each other. Some crazy woman or some crazy guy has come into this relationship or financial problem. I banish that thing right now. I go back to a wholesome marriage, full of love, again. And a 60-year-old man and a 80-year-old man or whatever can be in love again. So look at these old people, just like young people. Yeah, they're back. Amen? It is all there. It's available to us when we stand in agreement in faith. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let me wrap this up real well. In God willing, if he lets me, I'll talk about it again. But Hezekiah was a king that did a lot of good things, helped to bring revival to Israel, and for some reason was attacked with this ailment, this sickness that was like a skin-eating disease, muscle-eating disease, and he's on his deathbed. And Isaiah comes and tells him, man, get your house ready. You're going to die. Walks out. Hezekiah turns his face against the wall and says, God, you can't do this to me. Remember me? You remember? I'm the one. When your servants were struggling and they didn't have anything to eat, I got people bringing back their tithes and their offerings and everything. I reestablished a lot of things. You can't do this to me. And Isaiah is just out. It's not even outside the palace yet. And God speaks to Isaiah. Says, go back. Go and tell Hezekiah he's not going to die. So he comes back and he says to Hezekiah, the Lord just spoke to me that you're not going to die. I said, wait a minute. Hold it. You came here about 10 minutes ago. You told me I'm going to die. You come back 10 minutes later and you're telling me that God, the God who told you that I should get ready to die, is now telling you that I'm not going to die. Say yes. He says, okay, thank you very much. But for me to know that this is not going to happen, back up time, 10 degrees. So it is like you never came here and told me I'm going to die. Are you with me? That is the principle. You get it? Okay. You know, so reconnect with that time that the bridegroom was with you. Easy life. Easy life. That's what God is saying. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word and for the principles of life that you release to us. We surrender our lives to you and we say, God, in any area of our walk with you where we are not demonstrating the fullness of the integrity of your word, that you are a great bridegroom, that you will do for us what only you can do. For when you are not around, we go hungry. But when you are around, there is no lack. There's no lack of anything. So, Father, we go back to the high point of grace that we've walked with in you. And we say, Lord, take us from that place to another dimension of supernatural favor. Blessed be your holy name. We shall not need to struggle or strive, but we rest at this banquet table and enjoy the fullness that comes from our bridegroom. In Jesus' mighty name we prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I trust that something that we said tonight that caught your attention, that will help you break forth into the destiny that God has ordained for you. We look forward to seeing you this next Sunday for a powerful time together under the Lordship of our Sovereign Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.